look at the ninth commandment, which is forbids false witness bearing against our neighbor or against our fellow man. We've looking at various ways in which we can be a false witness. Again, we can do it with intent, or we can do it unintentionally, but the results are basically the same, whether it be with intent or whether it be unintentionally. We see that slander, of course, that's the most obvious way that we bear false witness. We mentioned several ways in which we can be guilty of slander. We can just, of course, just intentionally tell an outright lie against someone. That's the most obvious form of slander. But there are many other ways we can, it can be done by you and I hearing a rumor, hearing tale-bearing, not based upon fact. We may not know that it's not based upon fact, but we repeat it. And if it's not based upon fact, then we've become guilty. And again, a person can say all they want to, well, I didn't mean to. That may be so, but that does not undo false witness bearing. So it would be wise to, before we speak, to make sure of the facts. It would be wise to consider, does it even need to be repeated? Most things that are repeated have really no need to be repeated. Slander can be done with just expressing our opinion upon another person. Believe it or not, our opinion may not be correct. That's the problem with opinions. Everyone thinks their opinion is fact, that their opinion is absolutely true. But we can share our opinion on another person, and our opinion may be wrong, or our assumption. And if that be the case, then that's false witness bearing. Again, people would say, well, I was just expressing my opinion. That may be very true. But once again, it can be false witness bearing. We can slander an individual by making insinuations not based upon fact, and then sharing those insinuations with other people. We can be guilty of false witness bearing by exaggerating or misrepresenting what happened or facts. When you exaggerate or misrepresent a fact, it's no longer fact. It's now a lie. It's now false. And planting seeds of doubt, just planting that seed, can be a way of false witness bearing. And there are many others, but you get the idea. So it's something that we all do. It's something that we've all been guilty of. And it's something that we've all been guilty of to the damage of another individual, whether we realize the damage or not, and it could be to the damage of those that we shared our thoughts or whatever with. They could be damaging to them. Another way, of course, is that we bear false witness is by making false accusations. There are many examples in the Word of God. Eli, course, accused Hannah. 1 Samuel 1, verses 15 and 16, she's actually praying. He sees her mouth moving. Eli does, but no words are being heard. So he immediately accuses her of being drunk. Now, if that was done in the hearing of others, that would be false witness bearing. Satan, of course, accused Job. Satan is Revelation, the accuser of the brethren. Eliphaz, one of the friends of Job, notice in Job chapter 22, and this, of course, would have been in the hearing of the others that were present. Job 22, verse 6, he says, "For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry." He's speaking as if these things were fact. But they're not. They're his opinion. And by doing so, he was bearing false witness. Christ, of course, was often accused of his enemies. Notice Matthew chapter 27, verse 12. "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing." So he was accused of others. False accusations in the hearing of others, of course, plants the seed of false witness bearing. We see in Luke chapter 6, verse 7, "And the scribes and Pharisees watched him," Jesus, "whether he would heal on the Sabbath day." The reason they were watching is that they might find an accusation against him. That is, the enemies of Christ were looking for reasons to accuse Jesus Christ. When an individual goes looking for reasons to accuse, they are well on their way to false witness bearing. When you look for reasons to bring accusations, when you're looking for that, the tendency is to not see clearly because you're blinded by your purpose of finding fault or reason for accusation. You're going to make wrong judgments, and then, of course, you're going to repeat it. So when an individual is looking to bring accusation, unless God intervenes, they're going to bear false witness. It's going to happen. When one goes looking for a reason to bring accusation, they are actually seeking to do harm to that individual. Now, that's wicked. That's evil. They're actually seeking to do harm to that individual, which again puts them well down the road of false witness bearing. Again, when you go looking for reasons for accusation, perception is clouded with prejudice, conjectures, assumptions. Hearsay is perceived as fact. And again, all of this leads to false witness bearing. So there are many ways in which we can become guilty of bearing false witness. We've all been on the receiving end of false witness bearing. And we've all been on the giving end of false witness bearing as well. It's something that, again, and it's something that we're prone to by nature. Our sinful nature is prone to it. It has a tendency to bear false witness for many reasons. One, of course, is to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. There are many reasons. So the command prohibits slander. The command prohibits false accusations. But the command would also prohibit everything that would lead to false witness bearing. Everything that would lead to it. This is true with all the commands. Everything that would lead to what is commanded against is included in the command. So we must always beware of the things that can lead to what is being prohibited, that those things do not take possession of our life. One of those things would be contempt. Contempt in the heart for others. When we develop a contempt in our heart, then we're going to be more prone to false witness bearing. Not only that, we will also be more prone to justify false witness bearing. So contempt, in contempt, of course, would be included scorn, disrespect. If we develop a scorn and a disrespect for someone else, we're certainly more prone to saying something that is not true about them. And that this contempt may be in the form of a judgmental or critical spirit. Those who have and some have more than others, those who have a judgmental or critical spirit certainly are prone to false witness bearing. The one who possesses this judgmental or critical spirit usually looks for opportunity, and they may not do so knowingly, but they look for opportunity to cast judgment. They look for opportunity to be critical. And when you're looking for those things, you are very quick to find fault. And there is a proneness to put the worst construction upon the actions of others. The problem is then that person repeats to another person. And now their critical spirit is turned into false witness bearing. So one sin leads to another. The one who is possessed of a judgmental and critical spirit, again, is very likely to share their judgment, to share their criticism with others, which again puts them in danger of false witness bearing. Now let's say that the individual who has a judgmental spirit or a critical spirit, let's say what they judge is correct, and they repeat it to others. Well, that wouldn't be false witness bearing, but once again, in the spirit of love, does it need to be repeated? What's the purpose of repeating it? What is the purpose? So that there could be sin in that. If the purpose of repeating it is not correct, then that's sin. It may not be false witness bearing, but it's sin. So contempt for others will more than likely lead to false witness bearing. And it's certainly contempt by itself, of course, is a sin. Another thing which goes right along with this contempt is a refusal to let go of anger. When we hold on to anger, more than likely someone's going to ask us something in relation to it, and we're going to repeat what we shouldn't repeat, and we're going to be guilty of false witness bearing. Now, anger, of course, is a God-given emotion. It's an inward feeling, not necessarily sinful. It's a passion of displeasure that can be aroused by many things, can be aroused by situations, can be aroused by perceived or real emotional or physical injury or mistreatment. As an emotion, it's not always a voluntary decision. Emotions are not always voluntary, it's just happen. And so it is with anger. Emotion, of course, and anger is part of emotion, is a very powerful motivator to behavior, just as love is a powerful motivator to behavior. It has a tremendous power to influence the mind. That's true of all emotions, but we're dealing with anger here. It influences the mind, the way we think. It influences the will. Again, anger may be involuntary. We may not have to think about it. I'm going to be mad about this. It just happens. But to hold on to it is voluntary. That's something we choose to do. And when we do, it has an influence upon our mind, which has an influence upon our judgment, has an influence upon our will, has an influence upon our body, has an influence upon our entire life. So when we become, when we allow anger to take residence in our heart, and when we become entrenched in that anger, that of course produces contempt, malice, unkindness, animosity, resentment, spite, irritation. You become angry with somebody, it doesn't matter what they do. You can be irritated by everything they do and put a wrong spin on everything that they do. Hold on to anger can, of course, lead to vindictiveness. And all of these things, and all of this puts us in danger of bearing false witness. So all of these things would be prohibited. Again, along with contempt, another thing would be bitterness, which is the natural result of holding on to anger. If you hold on to anger, it will become bitterness. And bitterness is really worse than anger. Bitterness will do more damage than anger to you, to the person that you have bitterness for. Bitterness is hatred or ill feeling toward another. It's intense animosity. Leads, of course, to coldness and all kinds of things. But again, bitterness is something that we allow. Something that we allow. We allow ourselves to become bitter. It is an absolute lie for someone to say, I'm bitter, but it's not my fault. I can't help it. That's not true. That's not true. Now, in your current state, that may be true. You can't help it, but you need to change your current state. As long as you hold on to anger, that's true. You can't help it. But you don't have to hold on to the anger. So it is something that is allowed. It is something that is permitted in our lives. And even worse, it's something that is developed in our lives. That is, we feed it. We feed it. Which, of course, just puts us in more and more danger of bearing false witness. Bitterness is one of the most crushing attitudes that a person can have in their life. It triggers a multitude of sins. And that's why the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12 and verse 15 referred to it as the root of bitterness. He didn't just refer to it as bitterness, but the root of bitterness. In other words, it's a sin, it's an attitude that feeds. It feeds. Bitterness is fed, and then bitterness feeds other attitudes. Notice in Deuteronomy 29, God warned Israel of sins of bitterness. Deuteronomy 29, verse 18, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall, cruelty, and wormwood poison. A root that beareth, brings forth gall and wormwood, or cruelty and poison. So, if we have this root of bitterness, again, we are very far down the road of false witness bearing. Now, root is inward. It's underground. It's hidden. And bitterness is an inward sin. It displays itself in outward acts, but it is an inward sin. And a root is something that grows. And it also causes other things to grow. In this case, it would cause bad things or sinful things to grow. Bitterness actually, like a root, would feeds our souls. Feeds our souls with poison, with cruelty. It informs the mind. Informs the mind of things that are going to be destructive to ourselves and to others. It also, like a root, fuels our motives. It fuels our motives. And if we allow bitterness to grow, and it will grow unless we stop it, if we allow it to grow, it springs up into a plant, spring up into a tree, spring up into a forest, and cast a shadow upon everything. Cast a shadow upon our entire life. Cast a shadow upon how we think. It casts a shadow upon how we perceive. Cast a shadow. Brings misery into our lives. And therefore, in Hebrews, the writer referred to it as any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It brings trouble. It disturbs. Bitterness is very disturbing to us individually. That is the possessor of bitterness. It's something that disrupts. It springs up in troubles. It disrupts. Bitterness in our hearts can disrupt our lives. I mean, we can be going along, doing well. We can be having a spiritual moment, and bitterness is there. It disrupts. It disrupts. Becomes very bothersome to the person who possesses it. It harasses the person who possesses it. It irritates the person who possesses it. Annoys. We see it's also defiling to others. In Hebrews 12 and verse 15, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And thereby many be defiled. Because when a person has bitterness, they do not keep it to themselves. They are going to share it with somebody. And whoever they share it with is going to share it with somebody. And it defiles, and thereby many be defiled. It'd be one thing if the poison of bitterness only affected the possessor of it, but it doesn't. Many become defiled. In other words, bitterness will corrupt and contaminate other individuals. It will zap the soul of any spiritual nutrients. It becomes a threat to our very life. It becomes a threat to spiritual fruit. And again, it goes beyond the person who possesses bitterness. Bitterness in heart will cause one to speak that which they know is false. And it will cause them to be very careless with facts and very careless with reality. Again, putting them in great danger of misrepresenting someone else and being a false witness. If bitterness takes hold of us, we are very prone to twist one's words or actions. There are people who, if they have bitterness towards you, it doesn't much matter what you say. They're going to twist it. It doesn't much matter what you do. As in your treatment to them, they are going to twist. They're blinded. They're blinded by bitterness. And certainly this would be prohibited in this command, because again, it's not if it's going to lead to false witness bearing, it's just a matter of when. It will lead to false witness bearing. And people think, because they're bitter and they share what they're feeling with somebody else, I'm just sharing my feelings. Yeah, but your feelings are poison. And hopefully you wouldn't share poison with someone. So all that would lead to false witness bearing would be prohibited in this command. So again, it's something that we must be very, very aware of, the danger of becoming a false witness. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and mercy to us. We thank you, Lord, for the many, many ways that you pour your blessings down upon us. And we thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us to have the ability and to have the desire to be in your house and to fellowship with your people and to fellowship around your word. We just pray that you would draw near to us this day, that you would reveal yourself to us in a mighty way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.